Thank you, Commander. This is tape number 2 on May 23rd, 1992. We're back on the air.
Well, I want you ones in this room to enjoy this. We're finally getting notoriety. Mr. Martyr has really done it up dandy. This last issue of that particular journal was filled. He had many advertisements, but this particular portion is the best. And I'm utilizing it. I'm sharing it with you because I wonder how far all of you are from the same kind of reality in thought. It's always somehow, Hatton, just show up here. Prove something wondrous to me so that I can believe you. Until then, you are a satanic demon and all your mediums. I want you to ponder what you want God to do. And then I'm going to show you how absolutely ridiculous your own requirement turns out to be. Do you want me to pause while you do all of those or just that big one?
I'm quite contented.
All right. Okay. This is from Robert Martyr. It's a paid advertisement. You see, the paper did say, I'm no run anymore of yours. Unless you pay for them. And then I can't really, because I've run them in the past, I'm going to have to run them. It's getting very embarrassing to these people. So I'm going to read. So many keep asking, why did I shoot 3 scum punks in Portland in 1976? Just recently, I was upset by a jerk group in Tehachapi, California, who believes that they are mediums or go-betweens between themselves and a Commander Hatton, who is sent by God in a flying saucer. They also believe that there are robotoides running around, artificial people. Why would a sane and solid and level-headed and logical thinking person such as myself get mixed up with a jerk cult such as that, even to the extent of sending them a $200 cashier's check? Well, I guess I'm going to have to ask George what he did with that check. It passed all around and perhaps even went to the Constitutional Law Center to be returned, but I don't know. Maybe Oberle will check up on that. As a result of these ads in this publication, which has never resulted in a contact with the servant of God yet, I suddenly got a massive letter sent to me from the readers of a publication put out by the Tehachapi Hatton cult group. Needless to say, a person in my position was momentarily thrilled, for lack of a better word. You see, the medium for the Tehachapi cult group took a collection of my ads in this bulletin and then wrote a spacey story about me in the cult paper. I never even knew it until I got about 20 replies in the mail. I then called up the 1-800 number of the cult group and got the assistant of the medium. That was Precious Sandy, the assistant, you see. I explained that I'm a redneck, and us rednecks don't believe in flying saucers. Nevertheless, after I made 2 such calls, and even though I explained my position well, and even though I explained well about the fact that I shot 3 scum punks, everything was still okay with the assistant of the cult leader, who then sent me books and tapes. Well now, I am a decent human being, and any time someone helps me, I am going to return the help in some way. And so, I sent $200. The money was for the help, and not an indication that I believed in any of the nutty stuff. Well, my bank in Wisconsin has a bad habit about sending my bank book to my creditors. This has to be a bank, all right. I am not allowed to have a bank account in Oregon because I am a prisoner. If any of you know where I can find a bank in Oregon, then let me know about it. So I decided to call a third time to see if they got the check and to see if my bank book was sent to them by mistake. It has happened before with these Wisconsin idiots. So enters the medium, George Green. Number one, I didn't get Ms. Green, who is not the wife of the medium, this time. Nope, this time I got the primary sorcerer, George Green himself. From the very first words, he had a smart mouth about everything. I considered saying, "Hey, you stupid jerk, why don't you just return my $200 and we'll just call it square?" I should interrupt here. What he wanted to do was start running his ads in the Liberator. And Hatton said, "No way." I didn't have to. George would have done that for me, but nah. It isn't my way. The $200 was for work already done on my behalf, and so I resisted the urge. Besides, I am the one who always said, I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So, okay, now I'm getting the truth about this evil cult group with their demon Hatton up in his flying saucer. Isn't that truth worth $200 to me? You bet. I don't always like the truth, but I want the truth. If I could have gotten this jerk Green on the phone in the first place instead of Ms. Green, then we would have just had it out at once, and I would be 200 richer today, and this demon cult would be 200 poorer today. So as you can see, the truth is really the best policy after all. Medium George Green said, and we did it ourselves. We cut off the rest of the sentence. But to the effect that it's his right, as far as I, whatever George said was his right, as far as I, Robert, am concerned. I believe and I practice and I put my money where my mouth is, that if a person has a sincere belief, then they should be allowed to have their say in both words and print. And obviously so does George Green and Commander Hatton, you know, so... Let's get this straight. I believe that George Green should be allowed to say all the filth about me that he wants to say about me. But I also believe that both sides need to be told, and that a person needs then to be held accountable for their words. The filthiest remark that medium George Green said about me was that I, you, are a murderer. Oh, this is great. Here I am, strung along all this time by this cult group. They did a favorable story on me. They never called me a murderer in their cult paper, the Phoenix Liberator. About 20-plus of their cult members sent me support letters, and in two previous phone chats in which I was very clear about what I am in here for, still anything was A-okay. But now I am a murderer. That's funny. The two judges who sent me here found me not guilty of manslaughter. Did he or did he not just say he shot three scum punks? The charges were not murder in court. Of course, I say that the shooting of three or four scum punks is an act of self-defense. I was never allowed to have a jury trial. Beatings, drug, torture, sodomy, lies, and... I have never been able to find a lawyer to take the case to this day, and it has now been 16 years, and I still can't find a lawyer to take the case. Does anybody want to guess how they feel at the Constitutional Law Center about this? Well, they continue to follow on it, so I appreciate it. Boy, isn't that some justice system? You shoot three scum punks, two scum punks are dead, and after 16 years, I still haven't been able to get a shyster to help me with his problem. However, ta-da, ta-da, enters one guru demon cult leader, George Green, who has contact with a demon Hatton in a spacecraft flying saucer up there somewhere, and now suddenly I am a murderer. Well, if I am such a big badass murderer, then why have these parasites never allowed me my day in court, even after 16 years since the incident? My challenge to demon man George Hatton, and this is where we're going to enjoy ourselves, precious ones in the room and listeners. I'll start that sentence again because I want you to hear it. My challenge to demon man George Hatton Green of the Starship Enterprise of the United Federation of Planets. Hey, jerk, present your evidence right here in this bulletin. And then he does it for us. I will pay this bulletin $200 for you to run your reply in this same bulletin. I want to see your evidence that I am a murderer. I want you to give the details as to exactly what really did happen on the night of May 31st, 1976. Just tell exactly what I did, who I shot, how I shot them, the location, who these guys were, what they were doing, everything that you have when you declared that I am a murderer, something that even the parasites who locked me up have not accused me of. Well, jerk, I'm waiting, just like I've been waiting for 16 years for trial. I want you to back up your smart mouth with the facts about me being a murderer. You know, whenever a person shoots off their mouth, they should be held accountable for it. That's what I believe. I am here right now, and at my expense, I am ready to take on your whole demon organization and your Hatton, I'm sorry, I mispronounced my name. In a fair and open facts fight, right here in the American Bulletin, and he gives their address, and I feel so sorry for them. However, I think we should accommodate the man, don't you? I'm willing to help that medium George. Except the man is so sick. Do you see? He wants some proof so he can believe a little bit in some kind of truth. And he thinks if he gets all the facts, just the facts, ma'am, he'd be able to believe. So I'm going to accommodate George. We're going to write all of those facts. And just to make sure we don't get charged for it, I'm going to send it with a copy of this ad to this paper with a copy to him so that he can spend his $200 on something worthwhile than to continue with this nonsense. The sad part is, all anybody has to do, including myself, is make a phone call to the Constitutional Law Center, and in 24 hours they will have the entire case with names, dates, times, and places. So it doesn't prove anything, does it? Except that somebody knows how to get in touch with a barrister and get information. We have to have compassion for ones like this. I wanted to share it because I want you to listen to it carefully with your hearts. The man is sick. If he cannot see that it is incorrect to go around shooting anybody to death, including scumpunks, then he's missed his direction in life. And you see, the biggest part of his projections to readers all over is to first gain sympathy for his plight, and then degrade all ones who are in his presence, and then completely and vilely degrade all ones who write to him. I have received copies back of the letters that he has sent all over this nation to ones who took time to send him love and appreciation. And as it has progressed, the letters get more and more and more vile. So I have made a statement in the Liberator, and I will also make a statement to the ones who have that paper to release them, all ones. I have an evil letter that was sent in response to more than one letter from Pierre Claudier to this man. And each response becomes more vile than the one before. And it was incredible what he wrote to Sandy Green. So all of you who have continued in spite of the response you have gotten, you certainly have my permission and requests to no longer send anything. When ones turn away from God and deny God's entrance into their lives, we honor it. What else do we have, Oberly?
I have nothing more on the table.
Then maybe you'd like to share something that someone has written which is closer to fact than probably this one understands. This is a gifted bit of insight. You see, you have ones all over who are receiving information. Don't discount what you're receiving. And if it seems that it's not being utilized, just be patient. You're going to have to realize that we've outgrown little vibration boxes and things like that. That's still the majority of what I get. I dream of doing the perfect frequency box, etc. No, it will not be that way. Mr. Tesla is perfectly capable of utilizing the updated and perfected information, so don't worry about it. But this one writes, and could not resist sharing, so I will. It's in reference. This one, before receiving the information on the photon belt, already had received the information that I'm going to share with you. So it isn't something in response as much as it was triggered to respond to me in answer to the Liberator. I'll just start here in the middle. I don't know or remember if this information is correct, and I can only assume that it is, at any rate, full of holes, as I would suppose my personal interpretation might be inaccurate. My interest in showing this to you is that if corrected and directed, assuming it's valid, by you, perhaps this information is to be shared with others as a means of personal control, understanding, and confidence to us in coming in contact with such a tremendous intake of energy. Would it allow ones to pass through this time with one conscious experience, with one's conscious experience intact? I'll just give it to you as I originally recorded it, and then I will continue to quote. And I want you please to listen within. Just quiet yourself and listen within, and let's see if it begins to make sense to you. Balancing the blood to conduct electricity, that is light. You must hold your heart in a stasis after achieving a total physical mass transformation. Transformation is light energy influx, absorption of light to blood. The heart pumps blood to all parts of mass. The mass is transformed to mostly controlled light. Mass is in a holding pattern by way of influx, absorption, flow, and hold or stop all movement of blood for a period of seconds. The crystalline, see, you have it again. The crystalline brain is the receiver of the light energy or life force from God and creation. So the brain is the superconductor. The blood is the conductor or vehicle for the light, transforming light into matter. This is achieved by God, mind, brain, manipulation of this process upon the physical matter of all body mass. Therefore, body mass is changed through this process. Please excuse any redundancy, my friend. We must control the heart organ, as it is the machine which pumps light-filled blood to parts of the physical body mass, hence transferring the light to all extremities to control mass, form, or formation, With this process, it is possible to completely change the body mass, to actually rearrange physical mass to a shape or form held in your consciousness. This being so, you must hold the actual vision of your present physical form at the time of transition. Our responsibility is to cause the flow of energy to our own extremities with mind, brain, and heart on hold, and not panic, for it will not be as anything we have ever felt. That's it. Also, I wonder if these wonderful little stars or little energy points I keep seeing in the air have anything to do with this photon reaction to dimensional darkness. Thank you again, Big Brother. And I would say thank you for sharing that. What you are doing is simply changing your life structure, which begins with your blood pumped through your heart into photons. So ponder it a little bit. And know that as you experience, you will probably experience panic, because as you begin to, quote, dissolve, and that blood begins to stay or become static as it changes. And this is why you can change back again without blood clots. Although, from time to time, and Dorma experienced this, in the transferring back and forth, in the traveling, very often you get what could be considered bends. And very often these little bubbles will plug the ears. And it takes time for that substance, the air, if you will, to reabsorb. You are not in a state of stasis. You have changed into a photon body, into a dispersed light form. And when that reassembles according to the DNA blueprint, you pass through, going and coming, a conversion into where the consciousness still requires breathing. The body does not require air. But there is a momentary panic. And this is what is so difficult to overcome in bringing you ones to and from craft. There is a moment of sheer terror, because to have breath removed is to you death. And it is increased at the moment of dispersion, because you will watch yourself dissolving in front of your very eyes. And your brain says, I don't need oxygen, I do not need to breathe. But you still can see self, and the panic begins to set in. This is why only knowledge can give you comfort and allow you the freedom to make this transition. And you ones are coming and going now regularly. It is still very much controlled. And it is controlled during your sleep hours. And if you think that we cannot control your partner lying in bed with you, forget it. Go back and look at intruders. There's a lot of truth in that. You don't know what is happening while you sleep. But we're going to have, aren't we, ones on that day of necessity that will not react in panic. So that's why we're here, brothers. It's a wondrous journey. It's the greatest time to experience in the human form of the generations on any planet, anywhere. You're coming home into the bigger galactic orbiting system of your central sun. You're coming home to God, and I ain't gonna leave without you. Good day. Blessings and salut.
Thank you, Commander. This is tape number two on May 23rd, 1992. We're back on the air.
Well, I want you ones in this room to enjoy this. We're finally getting notoriety. Mr. Martyr has really done it up dandy. This last issue of that particular journal was filled. He had many advertisements, but this particular portion is the best. And I'm utilizing it. I'm sharing it with you because I wonder how far all of you are from the same kind of reality in thought. It's always somehow, Hatton, just show up here. Prove something wondrous to me so that I can believe you. Until then, you are a satanic demon and all your mediums. I want you to ponder what you want God to do. And then I'm going to show you how absolutely ridiculous your own requirement turns out to be. Do you want me to pause while you do all of those or just that big one?
I'm quite contented.
All right. Okay. This is from Robert Martyr. It's a paid advertisement. You see, the paper did say, I'm no run anymore of yours. Unless you pay for them. And then I can't really, because I've run them in the past, I'm going to have to run them. It's getting very embarrassing to these people. So I'm going to read. So many keep asking, why did I shoot three scum punks in Portland in 1976? Just recently, I was upset by a jerk group in Tehachapi, California, who believes that they are mediums or go-betweens between themselves and a Commander Hatton, who is sent by God in a flying saucer. They also believe that there are robotoides running around, artificial people. Why would a sane and solid and level-headed and logical thinking person such as myself get mixed up with a jerk cult such as that, even to the extent of sending them a $200 cashier's check? Well, I guess I'm going to have to ask George what he did with that check. It passed all around and perhaps even went to the Constitutional Law Center to be returned, but I don't know. Maybe Oberlee will check up on that. As a result of these ads in this publication, which has never resulted in a contact with the servant of God yet, I suddenly got a massive letter sent to me from the readers of a publication put out by the Tehachapi Hatton cult group. Needless to say, a person in my position was momentarily thrilled, for lack of a better word. You see, the medium for the Tehachapi cult group took a collection of my ads in this bulletin and then wrote a spacey story about me in the cult paper. I never even knew it until I got about 20 replies in the mail. I then called up the 1-800 number of the cult group and got the assistant of the medium. That was Precious Sandy, the assistant, you see. I explained that I'm a redneck, and us rednecks don't believe in flying saucers. Nevertheless, after I made two such calls, and even though I explained my position well, and even though I explained well about the fact that I shot three scum punks, everything was still okay with the assistant of the cult leader, who then sent me books and tapes. Well now, I am a decent human being, and any time someone helps me, I am going to return the help in some way, and so I sent $200. The money was for the help, and not an indication that I believed in any of the nutty stuff. Well, my bank in Wisconsin has a bad habit about sending my bank book to my creditors. This has to be a bank, all right. I am not allowed to have a bank account in Oregon because I am a prisoner. If any of you know where I can find a bank in Oregon, then let me know about it. So I decided to call a third time to see if they got the check and to see if my bank book was sent to them by mistake. It has happened before with these Wisconsin idiots. So enters the medium, George Green. Number one, I didn't get Ms. Green, who is not the wife of the medium, this time. Nope, this time I got the primary sorcerer, George Green himself. From the very first words, he had a smart mouth about everything. I considered saying, "Hey, you stupid jerk, why don't you just return my $200 and we'll just call it square?" I should interrupt here. What he wanted to do was start running his ads in the Liberator. And Hathon said, "No way." I didn't have to. George would have done that for me, but nah. It isn't my way. The $200 was for work already done on my behalf, and so I resisted the urge. Besides, I am the one who always said, I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So, okay, now I'm getting the truth about this evil cult group with their demon Hatton up in his flying saucer. Isn't that truth worth $200 to me? You bet. I don't always like the truth, but I want the truth. If I could have gotten this jerk Green on the phone in the first place instead of Ms. Green, then we would have just had it out at once, and I would be 200 richer today. And this demon cult would be 200 poorer today. So as you can see, the truth is really the best policy after all. Medium George Green said, and we did it ourselves. We cut off the rest of the sentence. But to the effect that it's his right, as far as I, whatever George said was his right, as far as I, Robert, am concerned. I believe and I practice and I put my money where my mouth is, that if a person has a sincere belief, then they should be allowed to have their say in both words and print. And obviously so does George Green and Commander Hatton, you know, so... Let's get this straight. I believe that George Green should be allowed to say all the filth about me that he wants to say about me. But I also believe that both sides need to be told, and that a person needs then to be held accountable for their words. The filthiest remark that medium George Green said about me was that I, you, are a murderer. Oh, this is great. Here I am, strung along all this time by this cult group. They did a favorable story on me. They never called me a murderer in their cult paper, the Phoenix Liberator. About 20-plus of their cult members sent me support letters, and in two previous phone chats in which I was very clear about what I am in here for, still anything was A-okay. But now I am a murderer. That's funny. The two judges who sent me here found me not guilty of manslaughter. Did he or did he not just say he shot three scum punks? The charges were not murder in court. Of course, I say that the shooting of three or four scum punks is an act of self-defense. I was never allowed to have a jury trial. Beatings, drug, torture, sodomy, lies, and... I have never been able to find a lawyer to take the case to this day, and it has now been 16 years, and I still can't find a lawyer to take the case. Does anybody want to guess how they feel at the Constitutional Law Center about this? Well, they continue to follow on it, so I appreciate it. Boy, isn't that some justice system? You shoot three scum punks, two scum punks are dead, and after 16 years, I still haven't been able to get a shyster to help me with his problem. However, ta-da, ta-da, enters one guru demon cult leader, George Green, who has contact with a demon Hatton in a spacecraft flying saucer up there somewhere, and now suddenly I am a murderer. Well, if I am such a big badass murderer, then why have these parasites never allowed me my day in court, even after 16 years since the incident? My challenge to demon man George Hatton, and this is where we're going to enjoy ourselves, precious ones in the room and listeners. I'll start that sentence again because I want you to hear it. My challenge to demon man George Hatton Green of the Starship Enterprise of the United Federation of Planets. Hey, jerk, present your evidence right here in this bulletin. And then he does it for us. I will pay this bulletin $200 for you to run your reply in this same bulletin. I want to see your evidence that I am a murderer. I want you to give the details as to exactly what really did happen on the night of May 31st, 1976. Just tell exactly what I did, who I shot, how I shot them, the location, who these guys were, what they were doing, everything that you have when you declared that I am a murderer, something that even the parasites who locked me up have not accused me of. Well, jerk, I'm waiting, just like I've been waiting for 16 years for trial. I want you to back up your smart mouth with the facts about me being a murderer. You know, whenever a person shoots off their mouth, they should be held accountable for it. That's what I believe. I am here right now, and at my expense, I am ready to take on your whole demon organization and your Hatton, in a fair and open facts fight right here in the American Bulletin. And he gives their address, and I feel so sorry for them. However, I think we should accommodate the man, don't you? I'm willing to help that medium, George. Except the man is so sick. Do you see? He wants some proof so he can believe a little bit in some kind of truth. And he thinks if he gets all the facts, just the facts, ma'am, he'd be able to believe. So I'm going to accommodate George. We're going to write all of those facts. And just to make sure we don't get charged for it, I'm going to send it with a copy of this ad to this paper, with a copy to him, so that he can spend his $200 on something worthwhile than to continue with his nonsense. The sad part is, all anybody has to do, including myself, is make a phone call to the Constitutional Law Center, and in 24 hours they will have the entire case with names, dates, times, and places. So it doesn't prove anything, does it? Except that somebody knows how to get in touch with a barrister and get information. We have to have compassion for ones like this. I wanted to share it because I want you to listen to it carefully with your hearts. The man is sick. If he cannot see that it is incorrect to go around shooting anybody to death, including scum punks, then he's missed his direction in life. And you see, the biggest part of his projections to readers all over is to first gain sympathy for his plight and then degrade all ones who are in his presence and then completely and vilely degrade all ones who write to him. I have received copies back of the letters that he has sent all over this nation to ones who took time to send him love and appreciation. And as it has progressed, the letters get more and more and more vile. So I have made a statement in the Liberator, and I will also make a statement to the ones who have that paper to release them. All ones. I have an evil letter that was sent in response to more than one letter from Pierre Claudier to this man. And each response becomes more vile than the one before. And it was incredible what he wrote to Sandy Green. So all of you who have continued in spite of the response you have gotten, you certainly have my permission and request to no longer send anything. When ones turn away from God and deny God's entrance into their lives, we honor it. What else do we have, Oberly?
I have nothing more on the table.
Then maybe you'd like to share something that someone has written which is closer to fact than probably this one understands. This is a gifted bit of insight. You see, you have ones all over who are receiving information. Don't discount what you're receiving. And if it seems that it's not being utilized, just be patient. You're going to have to realize that we've outgrown little vibration boxes and things like that. That's still the majority of what I get. I dream of doing the perfect frequency box, etc. No, it will not be that way. Mr. Tesla is perfectly capable of utilizing the updated and perfected information, so don't worry about it. But this one writes, and could not resist sharing, so I will. It's in reference. This one, before receiving the information on the photon belt, already had received the information that I'm going to share with you. So it isn't something in response as much as it was triggered to respond to me in answer to the Liberator. It says, I'll just start here in the middle. I don't know or remember if this information is correct, and I can only assume that it is, at any rate, full of holes, as I would suppose my personal interpretation might be inaccurate. My interest in showing this to you is that if corrected and directed, assuming it's valid by you, perhaps this information is to be shared with others as a means of personal control, understanding, and confidence to us in coming in contact with such a tremendous intake of energy. Would it allow ones to pass through this time with one conscious experience, conscious experience intact? I'll just give it to you as I originally recorded it, and then I will continue to quote. And I want you please to listen within. Just quiet yourself and listen within, and let's see if it begins to make sense to you. Balancing the blood to conduct electricity, that is light. You must hold your heart in a stasis after achieving a total physical mass transformation. Transformation is light energy influx, absorption of light to blood. The heart pumps blood to all parts of mass. The mass is transformed to mostly controlled light. Mass is in a holding pattern by way of influx, absorption, flow, and hold, or stop all movement of blood for a period of seconds. The crystalline, see, you have it again. The crystalline brain is the receiver of the light energy or life force from God and creation. So the brain is the superconductor. The blood is the conductor or vehicle for the light, transforming light into matter. This is achieved by God-mind-brain manipulation of this process upon the physical matter of all body mass. Therefore, body mass is changed through this process. Please excuse any redundancy, my friend. We must control the heart organ, as it is the machine which pumps light-filled blood to parts of the physical body mass, hence transferring the light to all extremities to control mass, form, or formation. With this process, it is possible to completely change the body mass, to actually rearrange physical mass to a shape or form held in your consciousness. This being so, you must hold the actual vision of your present physical form at the time of transition. Our responsibility is to cause the flow of energy to our own extremities with mind, brain, and heart on hold, and not panic, for it will not be as anything we have ever felt. That's it. Also, I wonder if these wonderful little stars or little energy points I keep seeing in the air have anything to do with this photon reaction to dimensional darkness. Thank you again, Big Brother. And I would say thank you for sharing that. What you are doing is simply changing your life structure, which begins with your blood pumped through your heart into photons. So ponder it a little bit. And know that as you experience, you will probably experience panic, because as you begin to, quote, dissolve, and that blood begins to stay or become static as it changes, and this is why you can change back again without blood clots. Although, from time to time, and Dorma experienced this in the transferring back and forth, in the traveling, very often you get what could be considered bends. And very often these little bubbles will plug the ears. And it takes time for that substance, the air, if you will, to reabsorb. You are not in a state of stasis. You have changed into a photon body, into a dispersed light form. And when that reassembles according to the DNA blueprint, you pass through, going and coming, a conversion into where the consciousness still requires breathing. The body does not require air. But there is a momentary panic. And this is what is so difficult to overcome in bringing you ones to and from craft. There is a moment of sheer terror, because to have breath removed is to you death. And it is increased at the moment of dispersion, because you will watch yourself dissolving in front of your very eyes. And your brain says, I don't need oxygen, I do not need to breathe. But you still can see self. And the panic begins to set in. This is why only knowledge can give you comfort and allow you the freedom to make this transition. And you ones are coming and going now regularly. It is still very much controlled. And it is controlled during your sleep hours. And if you think that we cannot control your partner lying in bed with you, forget it. Go back and look at intruders. There's a lot of truth in that. You don't know what is happening while you sleep. But we're going to have, aren't we, ones on that day of necessity that will not react in panic. So that's why we're here, brothers. It's a wondrous journey. It's the greatest time to experience in the human form of the generations on any planet, anywhere. You're coming home into the bigger galactic orbiting system of your central sun. You're coming home to God, and I ain't gonna leave without you. Good day. Blessings and salute.